Before I get to my little bag, I was thinking, I heard just little tidbits about the Ladies' Day, and I am so thankful that we were able to do that. You know, we should thank God in our prayers that He gave us the resources and the blessings to have that. Tahira did a lot of work putting that together, and so did some of the other ladies, I guess. And I'm just tickled that we have something going like that. Because our ladies are special to us, and they carry out a special part of God's work in the kingdom. And I'm glad to hear that and know that. So, well, I have with me... Anybody guess? Now I'm going to hand these out to select people. You might have to catch them so I don't have to spend all day doing this. Charity, that's you. Diane Jensen. Samantha. Gene Dabney looking at that sheet is not going to help you. Maureen. Joe? Don't open your eggs, by the way. I've got one more egg for Ward Bickford.
Thank you.
I've got an egg too. Let's do this. Let's open these eggs and see what's inside, okay? Go ahead. Adrienne, what was in your egg?
I didn't have anything in my egg.
You didn't have anything? Really? Charity, what was in your egg? Nothing? Jean? Piece of grass. Maureen? Air? Joe, what's in your egg?
$50 bill.
See Joe after church. Beth, what's in your egg?
Stole my line.
Jody, what's...
Nothing's in there.
Samantha, what's in your egg?
Air.
Ward, what do you got in your egg?
That's what I found in mine.
Nothing, huh? Well, mine was empty also. Let me read to you a story which undoubtedly you've heard before, but if you'll bear with me. Jeremy was a little boy who was born with a twisted body. He had chronic terminal illness that was slowly killing him, and his parents had him enrolled at this school, and at the age of 12, he was only in the second grade. Unable to learn, he was disabled as far as his learning capabilities. He had a teacher named Dolores Miller, who often came exasperated with his outburst of grunts and groans and twitching and fidgeting that he couldn't seem to control very well. His parents were called to the school one day because Dolores, his teacher, she kind of just had enough of it. She thought to herself, hey, these other kids, they need room to learn at their age level, and they're kind of being deprived of that because Jeremy's kind of distracting them. So the teacher called Jeremy's folks up to the school. And she started talking to them. She said, you know, you really need to take Jeremy to a special school, a school that can handle a child like this, a school that can help this this kiddo and his development and all of those things. And they said, well, the mother began to cry a little bit. And she said, you know, there's not a school like that anywhere around here. And besides, Jeremy really likes the school. Well, the parents left, and as they left, the teacher, she kind of got to thinking about it, and she kind of started to feel guilty. You ever felt guilty, felt the feeling of being guilty after you've done something? And she began to pray about it, and she asked God to give her more patience where Jeremy was concerned. Well, the kids in school, Easter was approaching. And the teacher said, "Hey, guys, you know, I've got a special assignment that I want you to do in conjunction with Easter because it's kind of important." She said, "I want you to take this egg, give all the kids an empty egg. Said, I want you to take these eggs, I want you to take these eggs home, and I want you to think about something that represents new life." She told them about the story of Jesus and how he was killed and placed in the tomb and how he rose from the dead. And so said, take these eggs home and think about something that has to do with new life. Put it in the egg and bring it back to school. So, you know, the kids come back, you know, after Easter, and they were all excited and, you know, on fire, and they all had their eggs and, you know, put their eggs in the basket, you know, and it wasn't long, and the teacher, they finished their math assignment, and she got the little wicker basket out, and kids were excited about that, and she pulled an egg out, and she popped it open, and the first one, there was a butterfly in there. And the teacher said, "Well, that's kind of cool, you know, that's representative of new life, you know, the caterpillar goes into hibernation or builds a cocoon around himself and then comes out a wonderful change thing, you know, and that represents new life." So, and the little girl in the front row said, that's my egg, you know. And he grabbed the next egg and opened it up, and there was a rock in there with moss on it. He says, "Well, you know, that kind of represents some living organisms to some degree or whatnot. You know, that's new life too." And, you know, Fred back on the back row, "That's my rock, you know." And she went on to open a few more. But as she got down to the end, she picked up an egg much like this one, and she opened it. And like you said, there was nothing inside. She put it back to the side, reached for the next egg, and Jeremy, you know, hey, aren't you going to talk about my egg? And she was thinking, "Well, there's nothing in the egg, Jeremy." And he said, "Yeah, I know." She said, "Well, how does that represent new life?" And he said, "Miss Doris," he said, "listen," he said, "when they opened that tomb, Jesus wasn't in there either. That represented new life." And I thought to myself, wow, isn't that something? Now, I don't know if that story's true or not. It sure makes a good point, though, doesn't it? The story goes on to say that Jeremy died not long later, and placed upon the top of his casket was a bunch of empty eggs. Well, as we think about the tomb being empty, I want to talk to you about the power of the resurrection. We've been talking a lot about a lot of power lately, haven't we? Okay? Let's talk about the power of the resurrection. What does an empty tomb tell us? First of all, the empty tomb, and if you want to be turning to Matthew chapter 27, toward the end of the chapter, we'll be doing some reading in that area. Boy, this flower up here is great. That is the strongest smelling flower I've ever smelled in my life. Y'all have to come up and get a whiff of that. That smells pretty, but if I get to kind of woozing around up here, it wasn't the ham, okay? It could be the flower. First, the empty tomb declares the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Joseph of Arimathea had came and asked for the body of Jesus. And the Jews had went with the Roman guard to secure the tomb after Joseph had buried put the body in the tomb. The Jews didn't want any mention of Jesus anymore. So Matthew chapter 27, let's look at verse 62 through 66. It says, "Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first.' Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard. Go and make it as secure as you know how.' And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone." You know, the Jews would have done anything to convince people that Jesus was not the Christ, and that Jesus would not be raised from the dead. And they went to that tomb with the permission of Pilate to take a guard there to make it secure where nothing could happen. That deceiver said that he was going to be raised from the dead after 3 days. So he goes to the tomb. Jesus died. Jesus was taken and placed in this new tomb. And the Jews said, "You know what? We need to secure that thing so that this rumor, as we see it, does not spread one step further." So they went there with a guard. And they rolled the stone in front of the door and they placed a seal on the tomb. You know, we might think of a seal being some kind of angle iron bolted in or anything like that, but that wasn't this seal. This was a seal of a Roman governor. It was stamped with his ring, saying, "Nobody, and I mean nobody, touches this stone." And a guard was placed outside the tomb. He said to them, "Make it as secure as you know how." So that's what the Jews wanted. They wanted Jesus to be kept inside that tomb. But Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb could not hold Jesus. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10 reads this way. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you.' They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them and came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him." Death could not keep its hold on our Savior. Jesus was raised from the dead. That's our Savior. We serve a risen Lord. Nothing that the Jews could have done could have prevented that. They put their little seal on the stone. They placed a guard. And that guard is not a one guard. That's more than one guard. If you study the Roman term for this, you'll understand that it was a company of men placed outside of this tomb to protect it. Jesus did not stay in the tomb, but he was raised from the dead. Number two, from the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ declares Jesus to be the Son of God. From the beginning of time until the time of Jesus, there have been many faithful, many honorable men. From Moses to Abraham to Elijah to John the Baptist and a host of others. But without the resurrection, Jesus would have just joined that same list as just another faithful person to God. But Jesus was raised from the dead. The resurrection declared from heaven that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. Says concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. God declared through the resurrection of Jesus that Jesus was his son. Isn't that something? God made a declaration from heaven when he raised his son from the dead. He made the declaration, "This is my beloved son." That's pretty good, the way I see it anyway. Didn't matter that that the tomb was sealed. Didn't matter that there was a guard outside. Didn't matter any of that. God decided that he was going to raise him from the dead. It didn't matter that the body had been dead for 3 days. That didn't matter. It didn't matter that it was impossible by human standards. It didn't matter that no one really thought that this thing could happen. God did it. God raised his son from the dead. And you know, an interesting thing happened. When the tomb was opened, it was empty, right? Where was this Jesus? God raised him from the dead. From the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ proclaims salvation. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. It says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through the resurrection of Christ. When you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, you understand that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is called the gospel, meaning the good news. The good news is that Jesus was raised from the dead, and so are we when we are raised to newness of life from the waters of baptism. Salvation goes hand in hand, really, with the idea of resurrection. All of us who are Christians have been resurrected already. The resurrection of the spirit, the spiritual part of us, that's what counts and what matters. From the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ is also the base of our hope. We get hope from the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, church, we live in a world where people don't have hope. You know people that you work with that just kind of drag from day to day? They don't know the Lord, maybe, and they just don't really have a lot of hope? Have you ever been to a church where all that was preached was damnation to the soul? Church, let me tell you what. You have hope because you're a Christian. We have hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that He was raised from the dead gives us hope for eternal life. Okay? I think that's a wonderful thing. Then we see the fact that, the Sadducees in the New Testament. We have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What were the Sadducees? Do you remember which ones are which and why? Yeah, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They were sad, you see. You know, all those. Y'all knew that. But anyway, the Sadducees did not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. They had no hope. You know, we have this message about Christ that He gives to us, and we can share that with the world. We can present hope to the world, a world that doesn't have any hope. I find that to be a pretty good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you still got your Bibles open there. Boy, this is a good stuff. You want to talk about resurrection, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because you know what? The Sadducees were saying, you know what? There is no resurrection. Hadn't anybody been raised from the dead? Jesus didn't get raised from the dead. There hadn't been anybody walking out any tombs. That's what the Sadducees were saying. And you know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, you just sit back and listen. I'm going to tell you about a resurrection. And that's what Paul did. Paul answers the Sadducees and he says, listen, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, verse 15, he says, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, we are false witnesses. Verse 17, your faith is worthless. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, verse 17, you're still lost in your sins. Our message is worthless. Verse 32, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Go out there to the parties. Live it on up. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead. Oh, and verse 29. Let's read verse 29. This is a real hot dog of a spot. Otherwise, what will those do who are being baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Oh, boy, when we was in preacher school, boy, we had long debates over this. We had theological exposés, and we had long exegesis and theories and everything like that. The context of 1 Corinthians 15 is simple. We're talking about resurrection. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, all of you Christians have just been baptized into a dead guy. Your baptism would end where? Under the water, with no oxygen, no life. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then your baptism is in vain. The fact that He rose from the grave gave you the ability to enter into the watery grave of baptism and be raised to walk in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. Man, this is good stuff right here. This is a really good chapter. You read this, you stop worrying about dying in the flesh. You know, people, when they get close to death, they get all worried and concerned. And you know, they get scared because they don't know what's going to happen. You read chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians and you quit worrying about that stuff because you realize that the physical death of a body is nothing. Listen to what he says in verse 19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are above all men to be most pitied. Isn't that good stuff? Paul says, listen, if your hope is based on what's going on in this world. You are to be pitied. Because our hope exists in Christ Jesus. He was raised from the dead. That gives us reason for hope. We have no reason to hope in anything else that we see. Do you hope in John Deere to support you and make your life wonderful, Russ? You appreciate the job, I know, but you know, I could ask each of you the same question. Where do you find your hope? Is your hope based on the earthly things that surround you? If it is, Paul says you're pitiful. You're pitiful. But he says, you know what? Our hope is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a great message? That's a good message. Number five, if you've been counting. From the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ shows that death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 through 55 says, "But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" I think about this, and I think about the exciting fact that when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died, right? And He went into the Hadean realm, the realm of the dead. And guess what? He come out of the realm of the dead. The gates to the dead only swing inward. They had only swung inward. You can only go in, but they don't open in the other way. You can't come out. But when Christ entered into death, when He entered into the Hadean realm, guess what? He broke the hinges on the doors of death. So that all the people that are living dead lives out here in the world can be raised to walk in newness of life. He conquered death. Isn't that exciting? He conquered death by being raised from the dead. I find that exciting. Death has no hold on us. Death has no hold on us. Because we were built for eternity. Isn't that something? I like that. Oh, now let's go back to Matthew chapter 28. I feel like I ate... Yeah, anybody feel like they ate turkey? I'm kind of sluggish. Matthew chapter 28. A good story. Matthew 28, 11 to 15, the attempted cover-up. It sounds like all the makings of good History Channel special, right? Verse 11 through 15. "Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say, His disciples came by night and stole Him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ear, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day." How many of you have seen on television lately the... They found the box or whatever, the sarcophagus maybe is what it's called, the coffin of Jesus. Have you seen that on TV lately? You know, they found the tomb of Jesus, right? Does that surprise you? It says right here they're going to do anything it took to cover it up. Does that include a box also that looks like, you know, well, the interesting thing is, do you know that that box was empty? Did you hear that part? That's kind of humorous, I thought. The attempted cover-up, the Jews, they didn't want Jesus out of that tomb. They did not want a risen Lord. And you know what, church, something that scares me sometimes, I wonder if sometimes if we don't try to keep Jesus in the tomb by our actions. Because you know what? A risen Lord is hard to deal with. If I buy into the program that Jesus was raised from the dead, guess what? I've got responsibilities. I've got accountabilities. Right? The Jews didn't want him out of the tomb. And I'm concerned sometimes as Christians, we don't want him out of the tomb. But I'm telling you what, church, the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead is power. That is the power of God shining out into a dark world. A world where people are tripping and falling and bonking their heads. How many of you walk around in your house at night and it's dark and you know where to walk? You don't run into anything. Then you move. And you get black and blue toes for a month. Because you know what, church? There's a world out there with black and blue toes that cannot see in the dark. And God has given us this wonderful flashlight. This wonderful light to shine out there and to help people. And the power driving that is the power of Christ, our resurrected Lord. I think that's pretty cool. The attempted cover-up. Well, Jeremy looked into... looked at an empty egg, and he saw new life. You know, we looked at an empty egg a while ago, and besides a few of you that found grass and a $50 bill, reportedly, I need to see you about that $50 bill afterwards. We said nothing was in the egg. You know what? There wasn't nothing found in the tomb either. Praise God that there was nothing found in the tomb. Because that means death did not keep its hold on our Lord. We do not serve a dead Lord, but a risen Savior. Isn't that great? Good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have need this evening, if you want to respond to the fact that the Lord gave His life for you, that the Lord conquered death on your behalf. Maybe there's something that you'd like to report to us praiseworthy. Something you want to thank God for. Whatever your need, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.